we thank you so much again, Lord, for giving us this day. And Father, we pray that you would again do what you do so well, order our steps, regulate our minds, and give us the mind of Christ. We would hear what you are saying to the church. We would see Jesus. We would know your presence. We would receive the counsel of the Holy Spirit that we might become that which you have predestined us to become. In fact, God, we're excited today because we remember what Paul told the church, the eye hath not seen and the ear hath not heard. And so, God, we believe that that opens for us great opportunities. No matter what the world may think of us today, our now is changing. Every moment with you makes us greater. And we recognize, Lord, your sovereign power. For what the Lord has for me is for me. And so, God, open again our eyes and our ears and make our hearts to be fertile ground. Father, let the cloud of glory descend into this place. Oh, God, surround us with your holy anointing. God, again, touch us that we might know the presence of the Lord in a personal way. And God, what we learn today as we listen and are led, let us take the very thing that we have enjoyed so much in this hour and share it with all those we encounter along the way. For it is good for us to be here. And God, we honor you by doing what you've called your servants to do. Thy will be done. Thank you again. And now we pray, Lord, in summary, that you would forgive us of our sins. We simply ask that you would have mercy. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. And Lord, please know that we're doing the best we know how. Amen. All right, let's go back to 2 Corinthians for a second. I want to kind of go backwards to go forward. I saw something else, I guess some things I wanted to bring to your attention. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and we read over into chapter 7 as well, but I wanted to kind of go back and look again and see if we can't get a little more central discipleship understanding. Amen. You know, I would say to you, because all of us are different, all of us, you know, learn different, and we don't all, you know, kind of flow in the same learning patterns. But I want to tell you something that I guess I should have said all the time. If there's a point or if there's a place where it just doesn't kind of click for you, we can slow down. You know, I'm not, God bless you. I'm not in a marathon. I do pretty much get to do it my way. I don't have to rush. So, you know, I mean, if it's not where you can get what you need to get out of it, we can slow down. And then on the other side of that, I don't intend to insult your intelligence by going too slow or too elementary, but I really want us to grow. And I think that if we can make it click, if we can get that little piece where that light goes on or whatever you need to happen for you, it's going to bless us all. And so don't feel like, you know, you just have to keep nodding. If it ain't helping you, it ain't helping you. You know, I know I said that three times, but if it ain't helping you, it ain't helping you, it ain't helping you. And so I just wanted to say that because I thought about, you know, I'm always reading something about church growth and leadership and stuff like that. And you do have to know your audience. And I really want you guys to be able to be as strong as you can. I don't want you to lack any good thing. And so we want to help you like that. So let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And we're going to look at, again, one of the things that he brings to our attention. And we started at verse 3. And I think I missed the important thing. I wanted to go back and really dig into verse 1. Because what he says is really interesting in the initial offering of the text. He says, you're partners. He already says to them, this is really the will of God concerning you. You're partners. And so the point I want to make is, you really have to stop allowing anything and anybody to make you feel that you're not welcome by God. that you're not the desire of his heart. He wants you. And you are in relationship with a God who does not pick favorites. Even when you mess up, God still loves you. And he says, listen, we're partners. And what he says to them is that because we're partners, no matter what you've done, no matter what has happened, don't reject the message. How many of you ever been around people who say, ooh, I'm just too bad for the church, or, oh, child, ain't no need of me going. It's too, it ain't too late. God loves you, and you will always be one of the many apples in his eye. And he says, listen, as, which means present tense, as partners now. You know, oftentimes we're talking about, you know, working our way in or getting to a certain point where we find, no. When you were made, you were made. The mafia, you know, you made. When you made, you made. And you know, the mafia says, once you're in, ain't no way out. That's how we ought to think about our relationship with God. When we made, when you a made man or made woman, man, you in. All rights and privileges therein. You can go and hang out at Satirelli's with Tony and the boys. That's from The Sopranos. You have to realize something. And I really think, as elementary as this may seem, I really think the church doesn't get that. And that is that you are desired by God to be his disciple. He wanted you. That's why he died. He didn't sit there and go, well, for some of them, yeah. It's for all of us. And so when he said that to us, we have to fully grasp that. You belong to God. And nobody can change that. People may criticize you because you make a mistake or two. They may be disappointed in you because you don't fulfill their expectations. But God doesn't see you like that. Paul talks to the Roman church and he tells them, he said, you know, you have a grace connection. That's great. Man, a grace connection? That means all is forgiven. The mercy of God does not shift like sand. The love of God does not change. What shall we say unto these things? If God be for us, good morning. It is what he says when he tells them that nothing shall separate us from the love that is Christ Jesus. Nothing. Nothing. And when he says nothing, he means nothing. And so again, because you're already in the partnership of God, nothing separates that. You're going to make mistakes. We all make mistakes. Get out a pencil and paper and write them down and pass them forward. The list would be exhausted. But he still loves us. We're still alive as evidence that he loves us. And when we die, it's not punishment that kills us. Because the Bible says when we are absent from this body, so God ain't killing us because he's mad at us. Thank God he don't get mad at us. Amen. And so when he talks about this relationship thing, it's critical for us to understand that because this is how God has already determined things, our walk with him is as such determined as well. We're not trying to earn our way into relationship with God. He paid for that already. We don't have to do backflips, cartwheels. We don't have to say a certain prayer. You know, I mean, prayer is wonderful and ought to be from your heart. If you want to rehearse your prayers, okay. But God ain't waiting on you to go, boom, you finally got it right. All right, you in now. It's not like that. And he tells us, whatever you do, don't reject what God has already determined for you. Don't say no to his kindness. Don't say no to the word. He said, because salvation is yours. And again, we need to look at salvation not as the mere fact that we show up to church on Sundays or sing on choirs or preach the gospel or serve in capacities. Salvation is our life. Because if you're not saved, you're dead. And when you're saved, you live. And not just on this side of the river, but there's a proposed plan already in place. That's three P's in a row. that says, I have prepared a place for you, that where I am, you, I want you there. How many of you ever been somewhere you don't want to be? Amen. Boy, a lot of y'all been drug around a long time. Anybody need to call the police? I mean, how many of you ever had a situation where you've been invited somewhere and you go just because you, let me get this over with. How many had to stay longer than you wanted to stay? Yeah, but see, that's not how heaven's going to be. He said, I prepared a place for you that where I am, there you're going to be also. I want you there. Doesn't it feel different when where you are is where you want to be and you know you want it? There's a commercial running Christmas time where a gentleman he's in a wheelchair and he comes to the door and he says to the person coming in, you know, I'm glad you're here, or something along that line. And, you know, they show everybody going around the table saying, wonderful. You know, lady looks at a ham like she ain't never seen a ham before. I'm like, wonderful. First ham you ever seen? But it's something about that atmosphere. And toward the end of the commercial, everybody's making a toast. You know, they about to get drunk up in there now. You know, everybody got wine. But they feel the presence. You know, and a couple of times in the commercial, somebody says, oh, you made it. You know, and we do that this time of the year. There'll probably be somebody show up at your house in the coming days that was unexpected. And some of them, when they come unexpected, you will genuinely be glad to see them. And then some of them will show up. You be thinking in your mind, how did you find where I live? Don't raise your hand. We got cameras. But my point is, that's not how God sees us. That's not how God's going to receive us. In fact, the Bible tells us when we get there, there's going to be a big celebration. Every time another child of God comes in that gate, they're going to ring the bell. It's going to be something awesome. And so I wanted to go back and look at that because I think I breezed over it too fast. You are partners with God. So when he calls you a co-laborer, that's not slavery. That's not taking anything from you. That is the glorious thing of being in a relationship with God, is we get to work with him. How many of you got people you love to work with? Okay, how many of y'all got jobs? Okay. Yeah, I mean, there's certain people that when we do this together, it makes it fun. And that's how I feel about the relationship with God. Remember, because discipleship is a principle. It's not an option. It's a principle. It is really what God desires. He didn't say make disciples because he couldn't come up with anything. God could have came up with any beautiful illustration, but it's a principle. And we live, as much as the society may not seem like it, by principle. There's certain rules. There are certain parameters that if you get outside of, somebody's got to do something. Somebody's got to say something. And so when we look at where we are in Christ, we have to recognize that all of us, every one of us, are the desire of his heart. Nobody gets to curry favor. Some of us just conduct ourselves in a better discipline. You know, we've been talking about that for a long time. But the reality for us is, this is the will of God. And don't say that and not take it all in. When you say this is the will of God concerning me, think about all of that. That means the person you married, the number of children you have, where you work, what comes, what goes, even the good and the bad. Remember, the Bible tells us we cannot expect only good. We can look around the room right now and tell people, listen, stuff does happen. And I mean, there are things that have happened to us that we never thought would happen, but look at us now. Us is still here and we're doing all right. Amen. And God is still God. Amen. And so when we look at our lives, what we have to recognize is that this partnership, this sovereign desire is the greatest gift that God could have ever given us. And he includes us. And he said, listen, this will hold true. And that's why, again, as we talk in the further verses, that it is our responsibility to live as lights so we don't give any taint to this relationship thing. We don't want to do anything. You know, we read it. He said, we're trying to make sure we don't do anything that will cause anybody to stumble or cause anybody to say, I knew it. No. Let's go to the Philippian letter and look at what he says going a little further. in the third chapter. If you come over there, we're going to cruise along a little bit, but I want to show you why it's important. Chapter 3 at verse 15, he says this. He said, I hope all of you who are mature Christians. Well, that means what? We're growing up. We're getting it. How many of you have been around folk who arguing with misinformation? Or arguing just for the sake of arguing? And you're sitting there going, they have no idea. They are wrong. It's two left shoes. How many of you have ever been around folk who are trying to explain something to you that you know they don't understand? He said, listen, we're going to have to grow up. We know that Paul talked to the church about moving from being on milk to moving to solid food. He said, listen, what I'm really hoping for is that you'll agree. Now go back and look at what he's talking about. He said, listen, I want you to achieve greater things in Christ Jesus. I want you to work toward the day of Christ Jesus. I want you to stay focused on Christ Jesus. I want you to make sure that you forget what's behind you and look at Christ Jesus. I want you to put all of your effort into Christ Jesus. I want you to realize you've been called to Christ Jesus. That's what he wants you to agree on. He didn't say nothing about falling out because they didn't agree to paint the walls in the church the color you wanted. He said don't have trivial and foolish arguments about stuff that is not Christ. That old song we used to sing in the church, look ever to Jesus, and he will. So what he's saying, let's agree that we're going to focus all of our energies. Let's agree that we're not going to look back. Let's agree that we have to strain, which means we have to be intensive. We mentioned that the other night. And you got to be intensive. You got to be intentional. And you got to learn. He said, let's make sure that we're grinding to give him the glory. That we're not going to be distracted. He said, we'll forget everything else. We'll forget about how much money we used to have. We'll forget about where we came from. We'll forget pedigree. We'll forget family lineage. But we'll look at Christ. Can you imagine what kind of church we're going to have if everybody stay focused? Reach over and slap somebody as hard as you can and tell them stay focused. No, don't do it. Brother Walker, I said, don't do it. He said, listen, I want us to agree on that. He says, if you're mature, you'll do it. Now, how do we have mature Christians? How do we get to the point of maturity? We train up. In the military, we used to say, we train up. We don't dummy down. You know, people, that's too complicated. Let's find an easier. No. This is the standard. No, notice now, what Paul says, here's what we have to do. I'm telling you now that no matter where we are, we don't have everything. That's verse 12. He said, I'm telling you now, whatever we've achieved, it's not everything. I'm telling you now that no matter how wonderful we are, we're not everything. So what is he saying? Let's keep growing. We don't get to just because we make our way to the first pews in the church and think that we're obsolete now. Or we can't be instructed. Now, he can tell me, I've been in church long enough. I don't need to go no Bible study. That tells you you need to go to Bible study. When you start trying to convince yourself what you don't need because you don't want to do it, you really need to go back to training. How many of you on your job have refresher training, reevaluation, certifications? That's so they can keep you sharp. The new people coming in are learning new stuff. You've been on the job 15, 20 years, and the new hirees, when they come in, they are learning stuff you didn't know. And when they come in, you know, oh, they whips out my job. They're not really trying to take your job. They're more efficient because of current training. And that's why they send you back every 6 months or every year, whatever the case might be. And how many of you got people around your job book when it's time to retrain? Lord, here we go, wasting a whole week. I got to go sit in that classroom. And most of them go in there and don't learn nothing because they've already made up their mind. I know this stuff. How many been around folk like that? I already know. I don't know why we're going over this stuff. I already know this. I know how to do the patients. I know how to fix the system. I know how to reboot the computer. And next thing you know, boop, 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 alarms going off in a section. They done mixed bleach with Comet, and we all leaving it. No, you got to learn. The body of Christ requires refreshing. And those of us who think We already ain't nothing new under the sun. That's what the Bible says. That is not why the Word of God says that. So you can make an excuse not to go to Bible training. Those of you who went to colleges and universities, you've already admitted, we've asked the question before, and you've admitted it before, that you're forgetting things. And it's not about dementia or Alzheimer's. It's just a fact of life that if you don't keep refreshing, you're going to start to lose it. And so he said, now, let's stay focused. He said, here's what we have to do. Keep working. Okay, we're in the middle of verse 12. Keep working toward the day when I will finally be, now this is critical, notice what he says, all that Christ saved me for and wants me to be. I told you salvation is critical. We did not get saved just to do this or this. And these are all wonderful things, I suppose. But I've been around good, solid disciples who don't do a whole lot of jumping and shouting. They don't sing on choirs. They ain't preachers. They're not deaconess, deacons, missionary, mother bowls, other bowls, and all the bowls. They're just wonderful, live by example, Christian disciples. Why? Because they live as lights. And they are not trying to gain any attention or notoriety. They may never be on anybody's program, but they live as lights because they know that his salvation is for them and what they are. He said, I want to be in such a mindset. I want to be in such an example to humanity that I'm all that he saved me for. The Lord saved you for greatness. Then live it. All of you. Don't be sitting around going, hey, you know, the preachers are right here. There's no pecking order. You know, the bishops are here, the apostles. And, you know, climbing Jacob's ladder is not about promotions and position. He said, notice what he says now. He said, what I want to do and I want you to do. Remember now, he said, let's agree on this. He said, so here it is. For me, my testimony is that I'll keep working. And working is the whole ball of wax. It's worship, it's training, it's giving, it's serving. I'll keep working. Okay, watch this now. Working why? Toward the day when I will finally be all that Christ saved me for. That means that I will not corrupt the sacrifice of his blood. I will not devalue what he gave up. I won't just wear a cross around my neck. I won't just put a bumper sticker on my car that says, honk if you love Jesus. And then when folk honk at me, I give them back a sign and many wonders. No, because I forgot I put that back there. I got my big, not I, but Christ. And somebody said, what does that mean? You blow up? No. He said, I'm trying, me personally, I'm going to make it my own, stand on my own tub thing, till I finally, when is finally? On that day. That I'm all that, not some of, not in my own estimation, evaluation, and my own enunciation that I is here and see me roar. No, that I am what he says he died for me to be. And what he wants me to be. And what he wants me to be means I do what he wants me to do. The first thing, let me tell you what's very important. This is the first and great command. You gotta love people. And I'm not talking about the, hey, how you doing kind of love. I'm talking about that embracing and kissing on the cheek and bring a cup of water. And when I was sick, he visited me. And what can I do for you? And I mean it. And what I do for you, I don't call Harmony and say, child, I had to help her pay her water bill. She ride around here in the bins, can't pay her water. You know, ain't that something? And she don't go and call Reverend, go, Reverend, you know, I just heard that she doing. No. Because what I do for you, I'm really doing for me and you. Because the Bible says we're all in this thing together. So we got to love people. That's two amens. I need more. It's critical. Listen, you cannot be a disciple, say you love God, whom you have not seen, and you can't even love him. It's just something about him. No, it's something about you. Because all the rest of us love him. We don't see nothing wrong with him. Sometimes the reason you can't see what's wrong with other folk is because you haven't dealt with what's wrong with you. You know, I do fine to that Julia Odie walk in. Ain't nothing wrong with Julia Odie. She's a sweetheart. And that's why you don't have no cards coming to your house. That's why your phone don't ring. Everybody in this body is the same. Ain't none of us no greater than any other. We're all the same. More amen should be flowing because that's the truth of it. All that Christ did for us, he did it the same. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one blood, one church, one body, one people, one. Listen, we all eating off the same tree. We drinking out the same creek. Ain't with one world. We get one. We all our stuff come from the same resource. You cannot be singing, "Praise God from whom all blessings flow," and not know how blessed you are. And ain't no vine that come just to your house. We all tapping off the same maple tree. It's one. Everything that was made by God for us. So you cannot say every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father who loves us, the Father of lights, the Father, and think that you are so much better than anybody else. If one of us poison, we all poison. We all one. He said, I want to make sure that I'm what God wants me to be. I want to be what God saved me for. And so I've got to bring myself to a place of agreement that it is not all about me. And I've got to love my brothers and sisters. He said, because if I'm mature, if I'm growing, I have to agree on that. Then I don't have my own little world. Some of us are fig Newtons in our own imagination. Oh, excuse me, figments. Oh, y'all got to know how to laugh. Thank you. Brother Walker caught that late. I saw you. Oh, okay. Yeah, we're all a fig Newton of our own imagination. But the reality for us is, now watch what he said, and this is critical. He says, so brothers and sisters, watch this. Now he's honest, verse 13. He said, I realize something. I'm still not there. That's called humility. A good principle of discipleship discipline is humility. Now I clown around with the best of them. I talk about my extreme handsomeness and these matters of public knowledge, yes indeed. But I mean, come on, y'all know I'm just kidding. Therefore, laid up for me as a crown. You know, and so the reality for us is he said, okay, now I'm the guy that's going to write all these books. Because, you know, he just in the Philippian church writing. But Paul had no, you know, Paul didn't prophesy to himself. But ultimately, we know Paul is a real humdinger. I mean, this guy, I mean, you know, Paul wrote all these epistles to the church and said wonderful things. He had a way that we have not seen. Because really the script is not being written like this presently. It's being written in our lives. You know, there's no book coming out, no, you know, addendums and stuff like that. But he says, listen, I know where I came from. And, you know, really, to be honest with you, and let me help you with something. Inasmuch as we like to use Paul as this standard, if you will, or some kind of model, if you will. A lot of them could have said the same thing Paul said. A lot of them were Hebrews of Hebrews, circumcised on the, you know. A lot of people could have told that story. Now, the reason we know his story, because he's Paul. He's the guy that was on his way to Damascus, and the Lord said, hey there, what's up, player? And Paul, you know. That's what the Lord said. He really did. He said, let me holler at you, Paul. But so when you look at that, that's not really the issue. What you want to look at is when he gets right here and says, listen, I know something about me. I'm not there. If you look at Paul's story, you will find there are very few instances, if any really, where people really celebrated him when they're like, oh man, that's Paul, man. No. First of all, it was a long time before anybody trusted him. A long time. In fact, the Lord put Peter in time out. He said, you come here. You don't leave that man alone. I bet that's what the Lord really told Peter. You don't leave Paul alone. Come on, man. He got a card. Didn't you check it? You and I must realize something. We ain't there either. Just because you don't drink don't make you no better than the man that does. Because you don't hang out don't make you, oh, man, what kind of man are you? Man? Leave people alone. My grandmother used to say, you got enough to worry about taking care of you. If you can't help people, don't hurt them. Married man ain't got no, what that Mr. Daddy told him, married woman ain't got no business hanging. You know, leave that woman alone, man. If he want her, he want her. He said the population of Hartwell County knew how. Leave that man, if he likes Suge Avery, good luck. You don't want him, pick somebody else. It's apparent to me you wasn't living too good because he turned out that way. I mean, you know. And so Paul said, listen, I'm humble enough to, and let me tell you something. It doesn't matter where you go. It doesn't matter what you become. If you keep humility, there are people who will watch your back rather than try to stab you in it. Because you trust in this matter, I can tell you, and I know it to be true. The same folk you step on trying to climb up, one or two of them might have to catch you when you're falling down. And ain't none of us no better than the other. We ain't nothing but dust looking at dust. We just dress it up different. So he says, I'm not there. Now watch this. I'm trying to help you because, again, this partnership relationship requires that no parameters be breached. He says, now I've got to forget some things about my own past and look forward to what lies ahead. Now this is why we need to understand vision, because there are promises that are laid out for all of us. You know, God has already fixed some stuff. It's in. And so we don't have to be mired in what is the past and not be excited enough to release some things in order to grab some things. You ever seen those little game shows where you got to grab all you can grab? And you know why that never works well? Because You got to let go stuff to get stuff. And when you get to a certain point, you're so afraid of letting go that you can't get nothing else. And, you know, they try to make it where it's hard to, you only get so much time. Well, you know, it's against you. They really want you to get up, grab it. Turn that fan off. You're blowing all the money. Turn the fan off and let me reach in here. I can get this fold up nice and neat. 30 seconds without that fan blowing, I got something. Well, see, we're so excited about it. How much I can grab, how much I can grab. And as soon as you go in there, you just, you know, you don't even try to sort out the difference between a 1 and a 20. You know, but the reality for us is we don't have to rush. No, we're walking with God. That's why the Bible says our steps are ordered by the Lord. He just takes his time. Jesus was never running. He never said, hurry up. He told us to work while we had the light of day. Well, there's a lot of daylight. Because, you know, we're in the shortest time now. The sun comes up a little different, goes down. But that's not the problem. The problem with the church is we do mismanagement. We don't make the most of the day. Because why? We're not paying attention to partnership rules. We're not doing the Lord's work. We're so busy looking out for us. Now, again, I'm not saying don't feed your family, don't get a job. Those are responsible things to do. That's why those guys were fishermen. That's why Matthew collected taxes. Luke had a practice. Those things are necessary. And the Lord says, I didn't tell you not to do that. Remember, they're sitting there talking about taxes. He said, bring me a coin. He He said, now whose image is on the coin? Jesus. He said, well, then give it to him. But you got to pay. And the same thing, when it was time to pay taxes, the IRS called and said, you know, we need to see Jesus on Tuesday at 10 o'clock. He said, let's go down to the river, grab me a fish or two, and bring me some money so I can get these people off me. He paid taxes. When he was born, the reason his family had to relocate was it was time to go and take care of the tax business. You don't know a woman 9 months swaying and rolling, gonna go on no trip? Now y'all go ahead. She had to go because you had to show up. Joseph looked at her and said, listen, bad enough people talking about how this thing going down. I ain't going down there by myself. Now you can at least come with me. I'm sticking with you. Oh. That's not how it was. Oh. I must have read the wrong book. I'm sorry. No, I'm just kidding. But I mean, what I'm saying is the Lord makes it clear that being gainfully employed, that's life. Saul was a tent maker. Now you notice, he don't have a problem. He said, listen, man, I worked. And if you read the scripture very carefully, he still worked. Even doing ministry, he still did a little side tent making. They said, you come down and look at my tent. Well, yeah, I got a little time. I'll run down there and sew that up for y'all. But I'm on my way to Macedonia, you know. And every now and then, what you and I need to remember is, no matter what we're doing, we're disciples. And I don't mean to minimize it by saying every now and then remember that. You ought to remember that all the time. But what I'm telling you is, you and I must never become so you and I that we forget him. It ain't all about us. And so he says, now let's get to this. Now watch this. Next thing he says is that we are already prize recipients. That means what? We ain't got a hook or crook. You don't have to be. How many of y'all remember Cracker Jack? Okay. Here's a Cracker Jack problem. When I was a young fella, we used to get Cracker Jack. Now see, where I grew up at, you didn't get stuff just cause. You earned it. So if you clean up your room and you didn't punch your brother in the eye and all that kind of stuff, you can get a box of Cracker Jack. Now, everybody knows that there's a prize inside Cracker Jack. Everybody knows it's at the bottom. They make it easy to open the top, not so the bottom. Here's the problem. So everybody eat their Cracker Jack. Do they still make Cracker Jack? I need to get that done. Okay. Is it still good? Okay. Anyway, it was good then. We didn't know no better. All that sugar, that's probably why we got whoopings all the time. We had all that sugar and that stuff, you know. And so anyway, everybody eat it. Here's the problem. Now I don't know. You got siblings. How many of y'all is it? Five. Okay. So you probably had this problem too. Anybody? It's two of y'all. Y'all didn't like each other, still don't. Okay. I'm just crazy. Okay, but anyway, if you grew up around people, if you got cousins, all right, because we ate in mass. Okay, here's the problem. Everybody eat the Cracker Jack. What inevitably happens when you get to the prizes, you don't want what you got, you want what they got. And God help you if somebody get that whistle. Because everybody wanted that whistle. And what happens then is we start fighting. Because we snatch something from somebody and run. And then mama look out the window, or auntie or somebody say, what is going on out there? He took my sandwich. I don't know what you're saying, but I'm going to whoop everybody. Because you know when one person cry, everybody entitled to a free cry. And so here's the problem. Those prizes cause problems. So what happened? So grandmama, mama, auntie, somebody say, I tell you what, from now on, no more Cracker Jack. Just bread and water. So we say, "What? Now what happened? You done messed it up for everybody." And so for a while we get, so it's the prize. So here's my point. Paul says, watch this. I'm straining to reach the end of the race and receive the prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us up to heaven. You know what? All of us going to get a prize. So we don't have to be jealous of what your pending prize might be. And I know God, he gives good and perfect gifts. So we don't have to be jealous down here. We certainly don't have to be jealous when we get there. So if down here does not compare to up there, let's stop the foolishness down here. Because all this gonna what? Pass away. So when God is blessing your brothers and sisters, let's just celebrate with them. Now that this daughter is a nurse, that's free blood pressure checks from here on in. We ain't got that. We don't have to run down there now to the fire station. We got Raven. So instead of being jealous, well, she thinks she's something because she's a little nurse. Let's make her feel like something. Because Lord knows when our head is swimming and we about to go down, Raven might be the one we look up and go, hey, Raven, calm down, Reverend, I got you. Squad is on the way. Okay. What happened to me? Just remain calm. Now, if we go down and she go down, we got problems. But we ought to be proud of her, not jealous. When somebody get a new whip, we ought to be proud. When somebody makes an achievement, this young fellow graduated. How many more years you got now? 2.5. Wow, isn't that something? Can you believe it? You're moving along smartly. But when this young man gets to a point where he's celebrating, he just because he done gone to Virginia Tech, he think he all that. I know where he from. Forget the past. Let's celebrate. Yay, Sean. Because in reality, a smarter Sean makes a smarter us. You know, when folk have done well, because we're all in this body together, even if it's a minimum achievement, don't minimize people. Oh, there ain't nothing. Just because you got that. No. They did something, and they're part of us. He says we're going to all get a prize, but all this earthly stuff is going to be swept away. When we get to heaven, some of y'all going to get kicked out of heaven. I see it. I feel it in my spirit because y'all ain't going to know how to act. How come pastor got a gold chair? There he go again. The Lord going to say, come up down here. No, just smile and say, ooh, look at that. Why? Because we all getting a prize. Now, again, here's the point, and I'm almost finished. He says, you got to be mature enough to agree on what we just talked about. Here is the problem. There are not enough people here to hear us talking about it. And we wonder why the church is dysfunctional. Why the church is divided. Why the church is so mean. Because they're not learning anything. And you can't agree with me on what you don't know. These are wonderful little things to help us. All of us want to forget our past, especially if it's tainted. All of us want to be able to know that there's future hope for us. All of us want to be able to go to a place of perfection. But if you don't know that, now you're turning up your nose and rolling your eyes and sucking your teeth over nothing. What are you saying? I don't worry about that. You're not maturing. And you're actually wounding the body. Because we spend so much time in trivial pursuits and trying to figure, well, what is wrong with it? I don't know, you go over there, I ain't going. Now we got to stop the wagon. Walk all the way around the other side of your side and go, well, what's wrong with you? No, I'm fine. You don't look fine. It's smoke coming out your ears. Don't worry about me. You wasn't worried about me before. That's why we keep stopping the wagon. Paul said, let's mature. Let's agree on the things that are really important. What is the most important thing? And I said it, Christ. We're straining to Christ. We're reaching for Christ. We're pressing for Christ. We're trying to impress. We must keep our eyes on the Lord. Again, look ever to Jesus. He'll carry you through. Okay, then he goes on. He says, you have to get to a point where you realize that God has already set you in a place of promise. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 4. I love this verse because I want you to know that nothing will ever separate you you are in a permanent relationship. Everybody in Hebrews 4? Look at verse 1. God's promise of entering his place of rest still stands. Isn't that wonderful? You mean we didn't revoke it? No. I messed up. Still stands. I didn't do it. Still stands. You know why? Because God cannot lie. It's his promise. That's why when people try to put you out of the church and all that old crazy stuff, God's promise of entering into that place still stands. You may need a new fellowship, but you don't need a new God. And don't make no man or woman your God. I don't care who the pastor, bishop, elder, overseer, prelate is. Jesus is Lord. They didn't save you. And they should not try to run lordship over your life by declaring you out of fellowship and you're going to lose your anointing if you don't stay here with us. They didn't give you no anointing. They might have poured oil on you, but shucks, who hadn't? If you're a black child, you done had a lot of oil poured on you. Pressing oil, healing oil, motor oil, baby oil, mineral oil. There's all kinds of oil been put on us if we African Americans, on our hair, on our bottom, under our nose, in our little chafing places. They put a little oil on that, you'll be all right. But nobody can tell you that you ain't the Lord's. And they can't minimize that because you decide you want to grow somewhere else. Now, notice what I said. I didn't say just go somewhere else. I said grow somewhere. He said, listen, God's promise of entering his it belongs to him. You remember that old song, we're going to be in heaven and nobody be able to put me out? Why? Because it belongs to him. How you going to put somebody out of somebody else's place? You're going to end up getting put out. I see to it that you don't ever get to heaven. Well, good luck with that. He said, watch this. He said, now, so we ought to tremble in fear that some of you might fail to get there. What is he saying? Come on now, let's do this ministry. We got to help each other. For the good news is this. This is the good news. God has prepared a place of rest. So we're going to. You're going to rest. That's why the Lord said, come unto me. All of you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you a Mercedes. No. I'll give you a house. No. I'll give you that job you've been looking. No. You know what we need more than anything? Is rest. Amen. How many of you ever had that kind of rest that you rest some more? That's me. Man, listen, I can sleep like the best of them. Rest makes me want to rest. I will tell you now that can't nobody do you like Jesus. When you got that peace that surpasses an understanding, folks, I don't see why you sleep like that. That's what I've been looking for. Peace that surpasses you. He said, you need rest. How many of you have ever longed for just a little rest? Say, oh, if I can just get me. I mean, that kind that just puts you in a coma rest. And you wake up going, Lord. That's rest. And he said, listen, watch this now. He says, this is the good news. That God has prepared a place of rest, has been announced to us as it was to them. But it did not. Now watch this. But it did them no good because they did not believe. Why would you let God give you these wonderful promises and you don't believe them? Because it ain't going to do you no good. Listen, you cannot glorify God by trying to have a big funeral in the church when you die. And you ain't been to church while you live. No, they ain't gonna do you know, if you don't believe, the word of God is written to the believer. To the believer. You become a believer when you listen
to the offering and go, that makes sense to me. I'm in. None of us were born believers. We've all became believers of many things. Some of you believe things that other folk don't believe. That doesn't make you a heathen. Some of us have knowledge base that are larger than other people. But in the body of Christ, that's why we put everybody in one place and we try to bring everybody up to one belief. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one book, one blood, one Bible. One teacher. Christ. One Father. One Holy Spirit. So what? That the message will be uniform. And we don't need no divisions. What did he say? Let there be no divisions. So it's not about denominations. It's not about hierarchies or conventions or none of that stuff matters. If you want to be in a fellowship, that's fine. But that doesn't make you more holy than us. And because your women only wear long dresses and no makeup, doesn't make your sisters no holier than our sisters. We like our sisters to look glamorous. We want our sisters to put on them stilettos and stuff. So when they walk different, we can say, look at our sisters. We don't want all our sisters walking around with flats on all the time. We don't want our men to be muted. We want our brothers to be sharp. We want them to show some swag. God is not upset with us because we looking good, feeling good. That doesn't make your people more holy than ours because everybody got hair nets on and Tams. We want our sisters to show their glory. One hairstyle here, one hairstyle there, slick, fried, dyed, pump, puff, bloat, whatever, baby, you is working it. Every sister want to hear a brother go, girl, you working that. Oh, ain't nobody working nothing when all you see is ankles all the time. God gave y'all calves to show them off. Amen. What did Maya Angelou say? I got oil wells pumping in my thighs. Yes, sir, baby. Bless you, daughter. I rise. Thank you, Maya. She done gone to be with the Lord. I'm sure the Lord saw her coming. He's like, you know, that was a good one. You helped the sisters out on that one. The reality for us is this. If you're not learning, you ain't living. He said they did him no good. You know what he's saying? He said, God has made you a precious promise that is of no value to you because you don't believe in it. How smart is that? Not smart at all. It's right here. He said, it did him no good. You're going to live your entire life in ignorance. And then when you have an opportunity to enter into the promise of God, you'll be rejected. Because you didn't believe. Wow. I don't think I want to go out like that. No. Look, he said that it still stands. It's still valuable. It's still valid. But it did them no good. Now watch this. For only we who believe, that's us. Somebody ought to say, that's us. High five your neighbor. Say, girl, look at here. And if you're a dude, don't say the girl, look at here part. You leave that off. He said, but as for us, watch this. If only those who believe can enter, he said, we got it going on. For only we who believe can enter his place of rest. As for those who didn't believe, God said, in my anger, I made a vow. They will never enter my place of rest, even though the place of rest has been ready since the beginning of the world. See, God didn't sit around and go, let me see what I'm going to do with all these people when they die. He knew. God is thorough. That's why he's sovereign. From the time he made us, back up, Leroy, from the time he even thought about us, he said, here's where they're going to end up at. That's why he's both Alpha and Omega. God ain't sitting around going, Lord, what am I going to do? That means he's talking to himself. Y'all missed it. He said, Lord, what am I going to do? He's talking to himself. Y'all missed it. God, that was a good one right there. Luther, they. Yeah. I'm saying the Lord said, Lord, what am I going to do? Y'all slow. Okay. There's a little bus pulling up outside. Y'all going to get out there. Okay, so he said, now that's what's going to happen. He said, so if the people are not paying attention to their growth cycle, he said, they're going to miss something. And so it is that the people of God have to realize who they are in Christ Jesus. Every one of us, that's everybody, every one of us, from the youngest to the eldest, have already been designated as partners. What we want to be is good partners. We want to prove ourselves. Let me tell you something. Stop trying to impress people and spend your energies being impressed of God. See, some of y'all thought I was going to say impress God. No, just be impressed by Him. Because when you're impressed by Him, it makes an impression on you. You spend too much of your time worrying about what people are going to say. Some of y'all stand in the mirror and go, I wonder if they're going to like my hair like this. I wonder if they're going to see my new suit. It's your thing. Do what you want to do. Dress how you want to. You know, go ahead. I don't know. What is style? Somebody making a new style all the time. How many of you remember when we were growing up, somebody get out on the dance floor and be doing something? And they thought, this the new dance. They just made that up. And next thing you know, everybody doing it, though. You know, on TV, you know, you see these people doing these crazy dance. When MTV and VH1 came out, man, it you know, Soul Train for us was it, you know, because whatever we saw on Saturday on Soul Train, we was going to do that next Saturday. You know, and so, you know, it's cool. But the reality for us is you have your own style. You pretty much do how you want to do it. Everybody ain't got to comb their hair the same way and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But the reality for us is when we have been impressed of God, it makes an impression. I mean, it changes everything about us. That's why he says, these are mine. I know them. They look like me. They sound like me. And so he reminds us that the critical thing for us to do is to be in Christ Jesus. Okay, come back to John 14 and I'll be done. John 14, verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Watch this. No one can come to the Father except through me. Okay, so that place is ready for you. It's not going anywhere. It's permanent. But you've got to do it right. You've got to come through Him. How can you come to Him that you do not believe or have not heard of? How can you confess to Him whom you not believe, whom you do not believe and have not heard of? You don't know Him. How can you say you're coming through Him? You haven't learned Him. And so you must. So you cannot say, you know, the Bible says He the way, the truth. And no, you got to know Him. Which is what He says. Very early on, He says, learn of me. Isn't that wonderful? He didn't say, go to the Bible Institute, get a certificate, go to a seminary. He said, learn me. Now, we have those things now, and they're good things, but the most important thing is to learn Him, to be led by Him, to listen to Him, to love Him. Because you will never learn how to love people if you don't know how to love the Lord. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your... That's all in. Again, now let's think about what he told the Corinthian church. He said, let's try hard to live in such a way. That's loving the Lord with all your mind, all your heart, all your body, all your... Give God everything. You know what's wonderful about giving God everything? You can't beat His giving. The more you love Him, He loves you more. The more you worship Him, the more He blesses you. You look like... What's that song? Where the minister of music?
Not here. Fired.
You know, we another blessing. Every time I, you know, that's how God is. The more you know about God, the more wonderful your life is going to be. You can't walk around tomorrow, I know the Lord will make a way somehow. You don't know him. Jesus will fix it. You don't know him. Ain't God all right? Ain't what? You don't know him. Surely the Lord is in this place. The presence of the Lord is here. The presence. No, you don't know him. You over there talking about who that? Everybody else, you know, Jesus. You know who that? That's Jesus. Where? You don't know him. I know him. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy mind. Focus. How many of you ever had to focus? I mean, so much so that nothing else was in the room. Focus till them little spots show up. That's focus right there. That's about to pass out focus. That's focus. And what does he say? Once you put your hands to the plow, don't look back. Focus. Press toward the mark. Focus. Don't get distracted. Be not dismayed. Whatever be tired. That's a word that I ain't figured out quite yet. Sound like something bad going on. That's what I know. He said, but know this, God will take care of you. That's focus. I'm all right now. Focus. Everybody ought to focus. You can't want the trustees and the pastors and the deacons and hey, y'all go ahead and focus. Now the rest of us are going to be mildly distracted back here. Focus. And he tells me, he said, now I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. There's no exception to that. As partners who understand partnership obedience, we say yes. To know there's a place of rest and promise, therefore laid up for me as a crown. Okay, we got that. When these earthly tabernacles be destroyed, we got that. To be out, we got that. Because we know it is truth. There is no wavering with God. You really think that line going to be flowing and then God going to go, oh, wait a minute, we need to change the way we're doing this. No, it's not going to happen because that would be unfair to some of us. And we're going to show up to heaven and go, no, wait a minute, Lord, that ain't what you said. How many of you ever had to tell somebody that? Somebody changed the rule about midstream or tried to do something. You said, no, wait a minute. Now, that is not what you said. Don't worry about what I said. Do as I say. Well, that's not what you said. So how are we going to be held to a standard if you keep changing the standard? That's why this book will last forever. And there will be no addendums. He already said that. He said, somebody going to get in a whole lot of trouble for trying to add anything or take anything out. Because I know what I said. How many of you ever had somebody come tell you something you know you didn't say it? You said, that is not what I said. Yes, you did. No, honey. I may be drunk on new wine, but it ain't today. I know what I said. That's right. How many of you ever told somebody to write that down? That's what Pharaoh told them. So let it be written. So let it be. Write it down, because we're going to go back and look at this. And in the annals of history, what's written is what we hold people to. That's why today in these United States, every time something go bad relating to guns, they go back to the constitutional right, the right to bear arms. You know why they wrote that back then? Because the colonialists, the people over in Britain told them they couldn't have them. So they said, we're going to form our new, in order to form a more perfect union, we the people, we're going to tell ourselves we got a right. This ain't no colonial times. Some folk got guns that have no business with no guns. My Second Amendment rights are being infringed upon. First of all, spell amendment. So it's important for us to understand. That's why this is our truth. Because God's not going to change this. And this is the standard by which all men, all conducts, creeds, and opinion shall be tried. It's going to be based on the Word of God. And that's why you need to know it. And that's why you should believe it. Because what God says, he won't change. He's immutable. He's without error. God has never had to say, no, nope, sorry, take that back. Okay, I know some of you just said, well, you know, he, in the Genesis letter, he said, I repent that I made man. No, he wasn't taking it back. He was just telling you how the thing was going down. It didn't, and he said anything wrong. It's good that he made us. He said, well, since they're turning out like this, we're going to have to make some adjustment. That's why he said, I'm going to send them somebody. Isn't that wonderful? That even after the flood, there was still us. He said, now, Noah, get on in the boat. And he did. Aren't y'all glad? See, some of y'all would have messed this up. I ain't building no boat. What is a boat? I mean, wasting my time. I'm going to say, I got to be drinking this wine right here. Amen. Thank you for your time. All right, listen, those of you who are part of our our discipleship training on Wednesdays and Thursdays, we're going into the Christmas break, so we won't have noonday and Thursday for a little while. But we'll announce it as soon as the year is rolling in 2016. Lord, help us that we make it. But we will have Christian Academy and such. So that is not. And Watch Night is coming upon us. So we're getting excited about that. Amen? Amen. All right. God bless you. Did I help you a little bit today? Amen. All right. That's important to me. Okay.